All right, we want to welcome everybody to our Tuesday noon Bible study. We are in the book of Acts, and we are moving right along. We're in chapter 18, so this will be chapter 18 today, and we're going to start with our very first verse and move on. Before I get started, are there any questions, comments, suggestions, ideas? And all hearts and minds are clear, and we shall move right on into verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. We should be excited about this because when he get to Corinth, a lot of stuff's going to happen. Good. All right. Number 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come to Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. That word wrought there means worked. Mm-hmm. All right. And by their occupation, they were tent makers. All right. First 3 verses. What you see?
Well, Corinth, I can come in on Corinth. Corinth was the most commercial, and it was most political city, even more so than Athens. And they were more corrupt in ways than Athens. So he's coming to... In other words, he's coming into a larger force than where he was. Athens was rough, but these people over here, they had more, you know, it was like commercial and political. So he had a lot more to deal with when he got to Corinth.
Anybody else?
I think what stuck out to me was the first verse, that after these things, the question to me would be, after what things? And when we go back and look at what had happened in chapter 17 about the unknown gods and the people not believing in the resurrection of the dead, but they eventually believed in the resurrection of the dead. So they said that we must hear more about these things. So that's what stuck in my mind when he said after these things in verse number 1 there.
And also I found out in further reading that the reason they were kicked out of Rome, the Jews, mm-hmm. is because of all the rioting and, you know, disputing that was going on. So in that further reading, it says evidently someone was there talking about Christ that had the Jews all uptight and rioting, and the Roman, the government just put them out, kicked the Jews out.
All right.
Plus, I was reading, too, commenting on what you said. They would not. They took them to court because of their preaching and teaching these things, but the courts didn't recognize that religion. They only recognized Judaism. And so they told them to get out. You know, they weren't going to prosecute anybody or do anything to them. So that's another story. Mm-hmm.
I think that from what I gather, that the Jews did not believe there was a Jesus Christ. And they had to come to their senses to realize that Jesus Christ was Jesus was Christ, but the Jews did not believe it. You know, they had mixed emotion about Jesus' teaching.
Now, I want us to think about one more thing. All of that's great. You all are picking out some good nuggets. Paul was on a journey, was he not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And if you're talking about a farmer, once he gets through planting in a certain area, what does he do next? He go to another area. You know, you got a certain area that you're going to plant seed in. You got a certain area you're going to work. And as he goes along while he's planting and working, he's leaving people behind to continue the work. Mm-hmm. So now just think, when he left that area, there was a group of people that did believe. Of course, you always got a group that don't, but you got the group that believe. So there, when he left there, he left a good work, and now he's going to an area where another work must start and continue. Now remember, there's people scattering out. It's kind of like, I want you to think about an explosion. All right, the explosion hit, and the shrapnel and all of the stuff hit all over the place. All right, so people are spread out, taking the gospel to places that had never been. We're looking at Paul planting church, but there are other people that are out there in other areas that are talking about what they experienced at Pentecost. Mm-hmm. So the word is spreading. But what we're looking at right here is everywhere Paul is going in to establish a work there that he was given the assignment of. Once he gets through with that, the Spirit of God has been moving him. You notice how he wanted to go to some areas. The Spirit said, no, we're not ready for that right now. We want you to go here. So this is God's plan being orchestrated. What I want us to think about is, how is God orchestrating his plan in our life? There may be some things we got on our mind and God said, not yet. But then there's some things he could be saying, go ahead, right? So I want us to see that sometimes if you're doing a work in one area, when you get done with that, God might move you on because somebody else is ready to come in and continue on in that area. If some plant and some water, but God gets to increase, you have to think about, what part am I playing in this particular area of my life? Am I a planter right here? Am I a waterer right here? Or am I here to bring in the harvest? Because, see, God's still going to get the glory.
Yes.
So when you look at what's happening here, now everywhere he goes, he picks up somebody to work with, right? Mm-hmm. So now he runs into Aquila and Priscilla. All right? And if you look at, they were born in Pontus. They were born in, they were born in another area. Mm-hmm. Here, God done moved them from there. Right.
Right.
To come position. Down here, to come position them to come to Corinth.
That's right.
And we're going to see in a few minutes that it was good that they came down there. Why? Because now they're going to meet Paul. Mm-hmm. And it so happens that because they're meeting Paul, they got several things in common. Right.
Right.
Number one, they already were believers.
Right.
Right. They were mm-hmm. believers. Number two, they worked in the same craft that Paul worked in.
Mm-hmm. They were tent makers.
Right. Now, have y'all noticed something about the fact that he worked with them? Because their occupation was tent makers. Paul was not living off of the gospel.
Right.
He wasn't burdening the church with supporting him. He went out and did what he had a craft to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I did a little bit more research, and it talked about how Jewish people had all of their kids to have a craft. Even though they had money, even though they were supposed to be smart and talented and all of that, they still taught them a craft. So at any time, at any place, they could work. They were prepared and taught to, it's good to have all of this, but you need to know how to do something with your hands as well. Mm-hmm. So here we are with a common craft going on here. These two get together. And now it starts. Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. Four, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Hmm. Not only did he get the Jews, but he got the proselytes of the Jewish people as well. He got all of those and ministered to as many of those that had a desire to be spiritual. All right? So he ministered to both. And when Silas and Timothy would come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. What does that mean, being pressed in the spirit?
Mine say compelled by the spirit.
Okay, compelled by the spirit.
Mine say devoted.
Devoted.
Like all his attention was going to the Jews.
Okay. All right. So he had a concentration then in his time of prayer and everything. All he could see was this is what he needed to do. He was focused, mm-hmm. right? And the Spirit was with him and testified to the Jews. 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto him, your blood is upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. That's some exciting stuff right there.
I was reading that.
Now, when it said here they opposed themselves and blasphemed, my studies show that what happened was they got to arguing among themselves as to what was really right and what was really wrong. Mm-hmm. And then after they couldn't get it straightened out, they started telling lies and start pointing fingers. And saying your stuff ain't right. No, you not right. So now you got a big disturbance going on. And then what does the scripture say about shaking the dust off your feet and moving on? Didn't Jesus tell them, when you go into the house and they receive you not, shake the dust off your feet and move on to the next area? I want to tell y'all, you don't have to stand and argue and dispute with people. You preach what God has given you to preach, and if they don't receive it, shake the dust off your feet and move on. All right? All this arguing and fussing need not be. Some going to receive it, some not. And those that don't receive it right then doesn't mean that they won't receive it later. It won't, because circumstances are bringing. Now, I have some people right now, they'll tell you, man, you remember the time I told you about the Lord and all that? I said, I knew the Lord a long time. I had just decided I wanted to do something else right then when you were preaching to me. Because yet I knew God, but yet, you know, there was a time in my younger life when I was excited about other things. I never forgot God. I just put him on hold for a few minutes. So, you know, I want you to see what God said. He shook his raiment and he said unto him, listen, I told you what I need to tell you. It's on you now. Now, we have to do members of our family that way as well. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. And that's hard because we love them.
I like that.
And we still. And he loved the Jews. He had a passion for them. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had been taught. He knew. Well, he said, I love y'all guys. Can't y'all see it? But guess what? They're not all going to get it. So he said, look, I'm only obligated to give it to you, and I'm gone. And while he was going out, what did he do? He hit him in the gut. Y'all see the gut shot? Y'all don't want it. I'm going to the Gentiles.
And I see the compassion and mercy that God has, because it said later or earlier in the chapter that he was pressed to go back to him and do it again. Not that he had not been doing it. He was pressed to go back. And when they received him not, he said, I'm clean.
Right.
You know, I did what God wanted me to do. I'm clean. It's on you.
That's it.
That's right. I'm clean.
Conscience is clear.
That's right.
You know, the part about, and when you get into the scriptures, God will continually to come to you, and after a while it says, after a while you'll be cut off without a remedy. It won't be that you can say, well, God, you didn't tell me. I asked and nobody told me. Oh, you've been told. They were told. They had plenty of time to get some understanding, because Paul, I still say this, I think he was one of the greatest lawyers ever. Because he could put down a case. Mm-hmm. when the governor said, you almost persuaded me, he said, boy, you got some strong game, Paul. Mm-hmm. He said, you almost got me. Almost. So he was pretty good. So he said, now we're going to the Gentiles. 7, and then he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. Boy, I can't believe y'all ain't jumping in on that one. Y'all know that joined hard means it was connected to the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Probably by concrete and mortar. So look, he didn't get it all done right there. So he one God had him go one door over to okay. one that was believing, mm-hmm. and guess what? He started preaching there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Joined hard to the synagogue, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Mm-hmm. Where were they hearing it from?
Over at Justice House.
They was living it at, hearing it at Justice House. Mm. That was a Bible study going on. And the Bible Man. Study blew up, boy.
Right now.
Huh? The Bible study blew up. Uh-huh. He went to the synagogue and then he went right next door. And guess what? The sign went out front and they were coming out of one door going right in the other door.
So he must have been a Gentile too, huh?
Who?
Justice?
Yes.
He said, I'm going to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. If he wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile.
Yeah.
This was the one that worshiped God in his house. All right. And many were baptized. 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul by night in a vision. Have we seen this before? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Is that a spirit of encouragement coming right there?
Yes.
So sometimes in our prayers we'll get an unction in to go forth, be bold, because I'm with you. Mm-hmm. That was good, because Paul needed it right then. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Now, if you know, like I know, in a year and 6 months, there was a lot of folks came in and out of that Bible study. Mm-hmm. Right?
Word getting spread.
Yeah. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, ain't no R in there.
All three of them.
And such like. The Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and they brought him to the judgment seat. Here we are again. But guess what? He was empowered by God through a word that came in a vision. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Just go on forth. Just like you don't need to be afraid. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because God will put the words in your mouth, and God will protect you. Amen?
Amen.
Saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. What's he saying? He's saying, you bringing me something I don't really deal with. Mm-hmm. He said, you trying to tell me about something y'all having a problem with. It doesn't have anything to do with right or wrong, lewdness, mm-hmm. or being bad out here in the streets. He said, so what are we really doing here? But if it be a question of words and names and of whose law?
Your law.
Of your law.
Not our law.
Look you to it. For I will no judge of such matters.
That's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Y'all got a religious issue going here. He said, y'all saying one name, they saying another name. He said, I'm not in this. I don't know. This don't have nothing to do with what I deal with. That's right. And I'm not in it. So don't try to drag me to get in on one side or another side. And look, Paul was getting ready to talk, and before he could even open his mouth, God had already worked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what does 16 say? And he drove them from the judgment seat. Mm-hmm. He ran them out. He said, y'all with this foolishness.
Get out of here.
Y'all move. Get on out. I got better fish to fry. Mm-hmm. This don't even fit in the skillet. Mm-hmm. 17, then all the Greeks took Sothenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. He said, hey, that's y'all. Yes. Y'all got religious stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Y'all handle religious stuff.
Do
what you do, because it don't have anything to do with me. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took leave of the brethren and sailed thence unto Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head. Oh, having, yeah, is that shown?
Some people shaved. Say shaved.
Okay, shaved.
Some Bible say shaved.
Okay.
In Cenchrea.
Okay, having shaved his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. I didn't get into this part as deep. Is that the Nazarene vow? You think?
Yeah.
He took the Nazarene vow.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. What it said.
Okay.
Shave
your head
as a religious.
Once the vow Nazarene.
Once the vow is made, you can't put
shave
a razor.
Your hair.
No, you can't. Once you do it, after that, you can't put a razor to your head.
Oh, after that.
After that, yeah.
So
no drinking strong drink. No touching anything that's dead. And you can't cut your hair. It's a ritual.
Yeah.
It's a vow that they make.
Oh, like the monks, kind of like what the monks do.
Kind of like it, but not quite. All right. Okay. For he had a vow. All right. Now, 19, and he came to where?
Ephesus.
He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. He always starts out. He'll go in and deal with his folks, get him first shot, then he gonna go on. Mm. And reason with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry no longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you when?
If God will.
And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed in Caesarea and had gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia. In order, strengthening all of his disciples. 24. And a certain Jew named who?
Apollos,
born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Boy, God know how to put them together, right?
Mm-hmm. He already had a plan.
This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, remember what we said in the beginning. What do we see happen right here? Paul had a chance to meet with Aquila and Priscilla.
Right.
He had a chance to minister to them and take them to the next level.
Right.
After they had built the church up there, he takes Priscilla and Aquila with him. And when he gets down to Ephesus, what does he do?
He leaves them.
He drops them off. And he go and do the work of the apostle. Mm-hmm. He's going around
all the churches,
mm-hmm. ministering to them, building them up, seeing what's going on. This is he going back in a circle now. He's going back around where he had been. Mm-hmm. And the people that he left got a job to do, right?
Right.
They hear a man who's giving all that he got, but need to what? Get to the next level. Mm-hmm. So now they done met Priscilla and Aquila, and they take him to the next level. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them so much which had believed through grace. So they sent a note saying, guess what? We got one coming. We need for you to look out for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ.
Yeah.
We got through all the 18. A lot went on in there, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I have a comment on Apollo. Apollo was a elegant speaker and everything, but when Paul dropped Aquila and Priscilla off, you know, God's plan just keep on working. Here they meet Apollo. Apollo's here. He's preaching, but he's teaching Old Testament. He's teaching, like, you know, the coming of Christ and all of that. He's not teaching about, you know, the new things that Paul had witnessed. In fact, the resurrection and the, you know, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So they teach him. They bring him up under their wings. And after they bring him up under their wings, he's like on fire. Just gone.
Not quite preaching the Old Testament. What he was preaching was that he is to be a repentance of sin, and that the salvation of the Lord is very near.
Right.
And so when they ran into Priscilla and Aquila, the Savior is here.
Right.
And so now, not only is he here, he's gone and left the Holy Ghost with us.
Right.
And so now you can receive that same power and be a witness. So he's taken them to where John's level just brought them to an understanding that you're going to have to repent of your sins, and that you're going to have to receive the Savior. The work has been done, and now the Holy Ghost is there to take you to this next level. That's right. Basically what it was. They needed to have hands laid on them. Because you remember, as they were going along, and some of them said, we hadn't even heard that there even much be a Holy Ghost.
Right.
And so here you are saying, hey, yeah, there's a Holy Ghost. Yeah. You can get them. And this is what's going to happen when you do get them. And so now to add the Holy Ghost to this elegant speaker, to add the Holy Ghost to this one who was doing all that he knew to do, right, then now they really empowered to do better. All right?
I don't understand why they beat the guy in the synagogue, the chief priest.
But you see who beat him.
Yeah, I don't understand. All right,
the proselytes beat him, not necessarily the Jewish people. The people that were trying to come in to be Jewish people, they call them proselytes. So they were the ones that were trying to understand and to receive what the Jews were talking about, and being saved to their following all of this. And then they had received the grace. So once you understand that you got grace, you mean all this time you wanted me to be circumcised, all this time you wanted me to wash my hands and go through all these festivals and go through all these feasts and all of that. And God is really all about grace and what was offered through the salvation of the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then y'all actually are going to bring the man who brought this to trial over the fact of what you don't believe, but the fact this is what he's teaching. We believe in that. So that was one of the main reasons. They said, hey, all of this ain't even necessary. You see that the courts wouldn't even deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all being very hypocritical in there. So that was some of the main things. So you still had some staunch believers of Judaism, and they wasn't believing on the Christ. But the people that did, they were saying, y'all can't continue to go on like this. So they kind of parted, but wasn't no sense in going to get the little folks, you go get the head, right?
Yeah.
And so they drug him on in there. Mm-hmm.
One of the things also I see in this is that Paul was on a mission. He was on a mission and a journey. And every step of the way, the Holy Spirit was with him, who led him. Like you say, some places he was told, don't go there, go with this place. You know, it led him in terms of what to do. And I compare that to our own life in that I used to, when I was younger, I was in my 20s, I would say, I don't know what to do, you know, and a lot of people have that when they come to church. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. It's just a good revelation for us that if you start, you'll find your way. When you start, God is in it. And he will, you might start out in an area and he might say, hey, I want you over here. So the answer for me is if you start, my mom used to say, you'll find your way. In that, you'll find your way, because God will lead you in your being obedient and just doing it, just getting up doing it.
All right, I got 10 minutes, and that we've already discussed, the things that I've said in chapter 19. We're going to get into what we just said. Yeah.
I was going to say before we leave, chapter 18, up here in verse 18, where it says, so Paul took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria with Priscilla and Aquila. How does that Syria relate geographically in any way to the Syria that we're hearing about in the news today?
I can't say. I'm not. I don't have that. That if I had my regular Bible here, I got that all of that contrast up. I didn't. I don't have it to display to you to show you which one is which one. Cause some of the names have changed. Not all of them. I'm not sure.
Portia. It's not the same, but the culture is. The location has changed. I think Syria now is closer to Turkey, mm-hmm. and it wasn't back then. That's as much as I can tell you. That culture, yeah, that spirit of Antichrist is still moved right with them from one location to the other.
No. I said, based on my study of Syria, that's one of the nations in the Bible, the name did not change. And I was under the impression that it is still the same geographically. It is closer to Turkey, and it has not changed at all. It's in the same place. Most of the countries in that area are no longer in existence. Mm-hmm. Syria is one of those nations that's still in existence by its name. That was my understanding.
There's Assyria and Syria. Okay, in the Old Testament, it's Assyria. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, it's Syria. So you got, that's when you start to see the location.
Well, I make my statement only on the premise that when you get into territory and geographical areas about the Jewish people and their conquest of the land of Israel, mm-hmm. and Syria was part of the land that they were supposed to, which really belonged to the Jewish people. And as of today, they still have not taken possession of that land among other nations in that area. Because if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, if I remember correctly, Israel comprised something like 30,000 square miles of land, whereas God gave them something like 300,000 plus square miles of land, which encompasses parts of Jordan and Syria, parts of Turkey as well.
Syria, somewhere.
I'm just trying to remember what we were talking about right now. I don't see any of them names. This is from the old. Oh, this is Paul's missionary journey.
That's
Paul's
journeys.
Now, according to this, is not really the same. According to this, this I'm gonna have it better next week. I did want to jump into 19. I'll work that out. Oh, I got a question. Next week is next week is the day of the holiday. Y'all in or out? All you gotta do is call it.
I'm okay with it.
Is office gonna be open? Do we know?
All right.
So let me get a vote of hands. Sorry, you guys can't vote on this, but.
Yeah. No, you better speak up.
How many? All right, hands up for Ian.
I won't miss that. I will not miss that.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's Tuesday. Well, I'll be here.
Mm-hmm. All right. By raising of hands, the vote is yes. We have in class Tuesday. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And at that point, I'll bring this. But according to this, is not quite the same. It's done moved over. Mm-hmm. It's done moved over a little bit. So I don't. Yeah. The boundaries have moved. All right. Let me get into 19. I got 5 minutes, and this and the reason I want to jump into the first part of 19.
How long it take? Have you ever had one of these before, and do you know how long it takes?
All right. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. In Acts 19, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, passing through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, two, and he said unto them, have you received what? The Holy Ghost since you believe. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said what? Unto John's baptism. So he was like a confirmation that what we had going on was Apollos, who was upright and doing all that he could, he was not empowered. Mm-hmm. And here Paul is in the upper coast, from the upper coast coming to Ephesus, and he finding, and it says certain disciples. These were some of them same folk that are going around. They're doing the best they can, but they needed to get the information about what happened at Pentecost.
Right? Right.
So this is what we got going on here. Four, and then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of what?
Repentance.
Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. Five, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of what?
The Lord Jesus.
Boy, we know we can stop right there, right? Mm-hmm. We got a whole group saying, if you ain't baptized in that,
Father, all right. Son, Holy Ghost, oh, all yeah. that stuff.
Sprinkle, dip. Don't. Mm-hmm. All right. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Wow.
Hallelujah. And all the men were about how many?
12.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
About 12.
Another explosion getting ready to take place. Mm-hmm. About 12. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of how many months?
Three months.
Three. And what was he doing for 3 months? Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He debunking and encouraging them to believe. So when they came up with what they said, he said what God told him to say, and then encouraged them to believe what thus said the Lord. Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Don't be afraid to have a lively discussion. Just don't get to arguing and fussing, but at least let people say what they say, and then you say what you know, and let God shed the light on it. All right? Because guess what happens? But when divers were hardened and believed not, that word divers, that it means many did not believe and got hardened in their hearts. Mm. What does that word hardened mean? They were stubborn and stuck on what they really and truly believed and thought they had was right. All right. Whether they had good intentions about it or wrong, right? Because a lot of them that was holding on to what they were holding on to was holding on to it because of position, because of the power that it gave them in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They didn't want to lose
their status.
That's right.
Because when you come to grace, that means everybody's on one level.
Yeah.
All worshiping one God. There ain't no big I's and little U's in God. Right.
That's right.
So that's where we got this major problem from. All right. And believe not, but spake evil on the way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the schools of one Tyrannus. Now that, you know, the word of God is going to divide. Yeah. It is. He said, I come to draw a line. Somebody going to have to believe. And if you don't believe, then you reject, right?
Right.
There will be a divide line. 10. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God brought special miracles by the hands of Paul. I'm going to stop there.
Also, is this when the Christians were beginning to call the way, or it was known as the way?
Boy, I used to know that.
Is it the way?
Was this that journey? I don't know whether they started at this one or.
I know it started in the book of Acts.
Uh-huh. So this could be it.
Where they called them the way.
Now this is a viable question. That when the church was first established right here, in certain areas they were known as being in the way. Mm-hmm. All right, and that word way was the Christ way. Mm-hmm. All right. So instead of, they were not called Christians at first. Mm-hmm. I'm in the way. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So before Christianity was labeled or folks being said, are you a Christian? The question was, are you in the way?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay.
So that was a good question. I'm gonna have to go back. Y'all making me study a little bit deeper. But it did start here from the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. This went from Pentecost on back as the people started. That group was known as those that are in the way, and that was the Christ way, with Jesus Christ being the way. Yep. All right, my time is up. So we moved into 19 and got all the way down to
13. Well, we ended at 12.
At 12. Well, actually, we ended at 11.
Yeah.
Ended at 11, because when we get into 12,
yeah,
we're going to get excited 11. About that. Because some people still take prayer cloths today. All right. Yeah. Anyway, we'll start off with that one on Tuesday. Everybody will be full of barbecue and
hot dogs
and hamburgers. Mm-hmm. And if y'all bring me some ribs, okay. I will take them.
Yeah.
Portion.
Right. Okay. Got it.